League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
After a 35-week hiatus, Initial Reaction is back online for you, my friends and fans of prep sports. My name is J.R. Radcliffe from Lake Country Publications and now Newspapers.
My name is J.P. Cadorn. I've been patiently waiting for J.R., but he remains too busy to ever meet with me. And now we're here together again at last.
You realize that you are the greater celebrity of the two of us. You're on radio shows, you're on TV all the time. So if there's a problem in scheduling, it's probably going to fall on the guy who's in greater demand.
I wouldn't say greater demand.
You wouldn't?
I have a lot going on.
Oh, I see.
So, you know, broadcasting college hockey games last night, you know, dusts off shoulder.
Yeah.
That was fun.
Yeah, so you were doing color commentary.
Yeah.
One time a year sort of
foray
into that.
Correct. This is the second time that we've done it. St. Norbert against MSOE, so it gets both of our markets, Green Bay and Milwaukee, down at the Kern Center. And you know, you get 1,000 hockey fans into a building with the nation's number one team in St. Norbert. It's a fun time.
So while we haven't been taking more than a year off from the podcast, it just feels that way. There have been many things that have happened since we last touched base, including a lot of stuff outside the prep sphere. The Badgers won a lot of games, then lost a pretty bad one to close their 7-game winning streak. The Bucks continue their whatever it is they're doing. And
my favorite Milwaukee Brewer got traded in Chris Davis.
Yes.
Oh, I'm so heartbroken.
Yes, he is, in fact, your favorite player. You love him dearly, and he's gone. So we could talk about that, too, if you want. The Brewers, the pitchers and catchers actually reporting the day we are recording this podcast. So if people are into that sort of thing, that's also happening.
It's normally like a holiday around here, that like it's the start of spring training. But this year, there's just nothing.
Yeah, this year's a weird year. I'm interested because I have no idea what to expect. But it's very, very different. I've never been a pitchers and catchers reporting kind of guy.
Yeah.
I'm more of a wake me on the first day of the actual season.
But that's the thing, like I was hosting the roundtable the other day, another reason I've been insanely busy.
Oh, you're so in demand.
I'm saying that I'm busy, you jerk.
Yeah, in demand.
Anyway, I was hosting the roundtable the other day, and our panelists said they're actually more excited for spring training this year because they don't know what's going to happen. As opposed to 2 years ago, it's you get excited because let's see how good this team is going to be. This year, it's because, I don't know, name the center fielder, name the third baseman, name the shortstop. Like, you can't do it right now.
Right.
Which is
fascinating. It's a very interesting challenge.
So there is some excitement, but then again, why get excited now when the decision is not going to be made until March 28th, you know?
Yeah, no doubt. The answers are Keon Broxton, Guerin, Cecchini, and Jonathan Villar.
Okay.
So in prep
Cecchini,
sports,
learn your Italian.
Absolutely true.
What's Cecchini?
I don't know. I'm just guessing on the pronunciation.
You're so
we'll
white.
Learn. We'll
you're
learn
so
it all.
So white.
Yeah, we still haven't quite figured out, and he's been traded, but Gene Segura. Was it Gene? Was it Jean? It depends which radio station you ask.
Well, the radio station in question wanted to be authentic and pronounce it Jean.
And that's fine, but then you have to pronounce all
Correct.
The names that way.
Correct. There's no more Aramis Ramirez or let me run through the roster. You're correct. If you're going to pronounce it Jean, then every single other name.
It's Hector Gomez.
Nice. There you go.
Yeah, yeah.
Hernan Perez.
Hernan Perez. Okay, so let's stop talking about this, because the Brewers are like a month and a half away.
Okay.
We'll have plenty of time to talk about them when the time
comes.
What's
going on in your life,
then? In prep sports, some interesting, it's funny, 2 weeks ago I wrote a column talking about how the WIAA controversy that we've touched on that's been talked about a lot, the sort of cheergate, chantgate, whatever you want to call it.
Oh, stop.
I wrote about how a month later there really hadn't been a lasting impact. Games looked exactly the same as they do today. And there was some reasons for that. Talked a lot about how athletic directors meet with student leaders. You could check that out at lakecountrynow.com if you want.
/push?
No, that's a different website. You are so behind the times.
Dang it.
But I wrote basically there isn't a lasting impact, and then a few days later there really is something that could have a lasting impact in some legislation introduced by a senator from Marinette. A senator, I actually don't know that off the top of my head. He's definitely a Republican
from
Marinette.
Reporter.
Yeah, no doubt. Insisting that the WIAA adhere to open records policies, the rules governing meetings and government in the state, mm-hmm. now apply to the WIAA, assuming that the bill becomes law. It would have to be signed by Scott Walker and all that. So that's a very interesting development. Basically, I personally think it's a little reactionary, but yeah. the thought being that these sorts of things happen because they do some meeting behind closed doors, which – is a little weird, but I mean, it's hard to really know how that would impact the WIAA. They do a lot of stuff in the light of day. How would it? What sorts of things would suddenly have to be on the table? I'm not smart enough to know that. I don't even know if I've got senators or representatives on my hands. But when you heard some of that, what did you think about it?
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask you. Was like, isn't this just one big overreaction to the controversy that was never
Definitely.
Actually a controversy?
Yeah.
You know, so it seems. I don't know. I think this kind of gets political, which none of us know anything about politics, but I don't see a lot of negatives with open records laws if it provides
yeah.
transparency and it accomplishes some good. Obviously, I'm sure there are some drawbacks to it, just like anything. so I don't mind it necessarily. I don't really think it's necessary because it's not. We're not dealing with life or death situations here. The open records that they're going to get is going to be how seating procedures take place, you know, and
right.
sectional assignments, you know, like those are the inner workings of the WIAA. It's not like you're getting open records about, you know, court cases and stuff from 30 years ago that you need to see.
Yeah. And I keep saying, open records. It's open meetings. So like they'd have to keep minutes and present that information to the public and that's fine. I think they're really over the years, the one thing that I don't really know how the WIAA operates is when granting waivers to athletes who want to transfer, like what mm-hmm. criteria they use specifically.
Yeah.
They sort of discuss that on a case-by-case basis, which I think they should. And that is always a little bit mercurial. You never really know what their rationale is. They just say either they approve it or they don't.
Sure. Would have been interesting to hear meeting notes of keeping state tournaments in Madison and Green Bay from
yeah.
like 3 or 4 years ago.
It would have been.
Why they stayed in Madison and if that was really even a possibility of them leaving.
Right. And I guess like the majority of it, though, is kind of already out there. They hold their votes in public.
Yeah.
Their written votes. The Board of Control meetings, they do have side sessions that are private where they sort of discuss things. Maybe that's more procedural, like how to direct the conversation, things like that. And yeah, there's governance involved with the WIAA. It impacts a ton of people in the state of Wisconsin, so I can understand the rationale. It's going to be so interesting if this passes to see this in practice, to know exactly what sort of roadblocks are going to be created. Is it going to make the WIAA process more laborious? Is there going to be information that's actually useful and helpful? I mean, I just. Without being a political mind, have a hard time wrapping
yeah.
my mind around what exactly we would be getting differently than we already
From
have.
The outside looking in, it seems like a pretty big waste of time.
Yeah,
especially
for sure.
something that we're going to push on to our state senate or house, ?
Yeah, I don't know.
And to Governor Walker eventually, that just seems like a big waste of time.
If it isn't in the Schoolhouse Rock song, I have no idea what's going to happen.
Oh, still paying dividends after all these years.
On
huh?
Capitol Hill, I'm just a bill. So, yes, paying dividends. It does seem reactionary, as I said. I mean, we're basically talking about a meeting that may have happened as far ago as 2011, maybe even earlier, a committee meeting, a brainstorming session that, you know, as we've talked about before, how this kind of became a circus without people having maybe all the facts in hand.
Thanks for saying maybe there, trying to.
Right. Well, and it's...
I'm sure Jay Bielis read up on everything he needed to before sending out his...
I mean, Jay Bielis is
tweets.
Really funny. I do not want to disparage it because I enjoyed every one of his tweets, but the premise of what he was working with was a little misguided, and that's
bit.
Fine. He doesn't, you know, he's a national
that's
guy.
Twitter.
He jumped on it.
That's Twitter.
I laughed really hard at
read
Jay Bielis.
At your own peril.
I love that guy. I wish he'd had more information.
Does he follow anybody yet?
I doubt it.
His Twitter account has, you know, millions and millions of followers, but for the longest time it was where he didn't follow anybody.
Yes. Well, you know, he's a very important person. He can only follow so many people. He had
well,
like one follower, right? Or one person that he followed.
I don't know.
I don't know either.
You can look.
I don't want to. So, So, yeah, that's the biggest thing on the WIAA landscape. Closer to home, there's a big story in prep sports. Kevin Flegner, the athletics director at Arrowhead High School, which is in the news for many things, locker rooms this past year, but more optimistic, you know, more positively, they win state titles at a ridiculous pace. No school in the state of Wisconsin has won more state titles in the past 8 years than Arrowhead, which is the tenure of Kevin Flegner. But he's leaving. He's going to Oconomowoc High School right next door, which is fascinating to me on many levels.
Doesn't even need a moving truck.
Doesn't even need a moving truck.
And carry it over there.
Yeah, no doubt. Just stuff it in his car and ride over. Oconomowoc is a program on the rise. Their boys basketball team is on the cusp of winning the Little Ten title. The football team just won a conference title. They went to state in baseball. They've got brand new athletics facilities that are a couple years old at this point. They are probably going to be in the Classic Eight with Arrowhead and those other schools within the next few years if realignment goes through as it is currently constructed. So they are absolutely on the rise, and it's crazy to think that they're going to because Oconomowoc is one of the many schools that are seen in the shadow of Arrowhead.
Yeah.
That's not going to happen now because they're picking up Arrowhead. You know, Arrowhead's loss is Oconomowoc's gain at this point.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting, like you said, on a few levels. I think one is that you could argue that being the athletic director at Arrowhead is probably, I mean, at least the top five, if not the best job in the state.
Yeah, I would definitely make the case for number one.
Kimberly
up there too. Yeah,
everything as well. I'm sure somebody like Stevens Point could make a case that, you know, they have a lot of kids to choose from and resources, et cetera.
Sheer volume of sports alone. Arrowhead has everything.
Yeah.
I mean, all every club program you can think of, Arrowhead's got.
Yeah, and obviously they have resources coming out of both ears.
Yes.
So it's interesting that you would leave what is perceived to be the best job, but, you know, the best job doesn't mean the best job for him personally, whether he wanted some new challenges, whether there were some parental involvement that pushed him out, which we know can happen anywhere across the state, across the country. So interesting, but, you know, people ask me all the time when I'm leaving to go to ESPN. It's like, well, I don't want to. Like, that might seem like a better job, but what if you're happy where you are? What if, you know, Arrowhead might seem like a great job. What if you could be happier somebody else? So,
yeah, and maybe you're not as in demand as I give you credit for.
No, not quite.
So
keep in mind, the people asking why I don't work at ESPN don't work for ESPN. There's nobody making that connection.
Yeah, I think after Greg Mauling, the football coach, left in recent weeks with the hint that parental involvement, as you say, was part of the reason, that there were still some very unhappy parents, despite the fact that they had gone to four straight state championship games and thus been given like five extra games a year, which is a crazy opportunity for everybody to play and everybody to be happy. But you know, with that, you have to think, well, maybe that tied into this situation as well, that there are just some people who are never going to be satisfied or aren't currently satisfied. I would wager, though, that every school, and certainly we don't get the same sense from Oconomowoc that we may at Arrowhead, where there are just plain old more people and there's a lot of money and a lot of parental involvement. But you know, at Oconomowoc, there's going to be challenges as well. Every big school has got parents that are going to be trying to exert some will, some push. And I have to think that part of it is just there's a greater challenge here. Oconomowoc is still emerging from the shadow of Arrowhead, and many schools are out in the Lake Country area. Arrowhead is sort of the alpha dog in state sports, and getting Oconomowoc to that point, it's an affluent community with lots of kids that go to the high school, plenty of resources. I think it could be.
I have always kind of wondered why Oconomowoc wasn't better at everything.
Yeah,
just because it's a big school that's. You know, it's, what, half hour west of Milwaukee, maybe 40 minutes west of Milwaukee. I mean, within the region where they should be drawing from a lot of kids, a lot of successful kids, I'm sure a lot of them actually choose to go to Arrowhead.
Exactly. That's a big thing.
Which might influence things.
And not only that, Madison, too. So you could have families that live in Oconomowoc who have parents that commute to Madison. I mean, it really is sort of a best of both worlds location. It's maybe a little far from Madison, maybe even a little far from Milwaukee for most people's taste. But I think you do get a lot of athletes transferring to Arrowhead. We looked at that in kind of a big series a few years ago about why Oconomowoc had not been able to keep up, so to speak, because they've had some very powerful programs over the years, wrestling, some great baseball tradition, golf way back in the day was definitely their thing. So so there's definitely some reasons that we kind of outlined, and some of it was just that they didn't have the tradition at the moment, and it sort of spirals on you. You've seen programs that get good and stay good because there are people who want to be a part of the program, and sometimes you just slip below that threshold, and you just have a really hard time getting a class of kids that puts you back on there. But right now they're in a major upswing. I mean, They're 12-0 in basketball. They, again, went 7-0 in the football season. The baseball team won their last four games. So I think Zach Clayton has been on all three of those teams. So he's won 23 straight conference games over three sports. I mean, they're in a really good place. And with the Little Ten getting set to get blown up, you know that they'll need to step up their game even more when they get into the Classic Eight.
Beautiful. So we'll see.
Yeah, very interesting and a great get for Oconomowoc. You know, they got to be thrilled to have somebody of Kevin Flegner's background.
So now are you applying for the AD job at Arrowhead?
No. Why would I want that? That job is for – there's so much work involved and so many people telling you what to do. Forget that. No.
Yeah, 2,200 kids at the school and every one of them wants to be the star on varsity.
Still a very attractive position. We'll be very interested to see who winds up applying, who winds up coming away with that job because there's a lot that goes into it.
I have not submitted my name, just so you
know. No, you're too busy thinking about ESPN.
Okay, really? Come on.
Yeah, no. Not really. The girls' basketball playoffs get underway February 23rd. That is a Tuesday. They begin in earnest on Friday and Saturday when you get most of the Division I teams. Well, all of the Division I teams will be underway by Friday. Going to be pretty exciting. I know you haven't had a chance to check out too many of the brackets yet, JP. These are the football brackets that are sitting in front of us.
Those have been there for a long time.
I got a chance to see Kettle Moraine defeat Waukesha West Thursday night in a girls' game that gave KM and Maguanago share of the Classic A title. That was a surprise. Waukesha West falls to third. They are a very intriguing team.
I was going to say, what happened to Waukesha West? That's my pick.
Yeah, I don't know.
I decided that's my pick.
I don't know. They're struggling down the stretch. They're intriguing this year because they dropped to D2. They've been D1, have not made it through the regional, and so it's kind of they've had so much talent. Now it's kind of getting to that next step. This wave of kids is they haven't been successful for years and years. This wave of kids has really brought the program up. They're a very good team. They're really good, and I think that they should be able to still come through that Division II regional sectional, but it's loaded up with New Berlin Eisenhower, who's beaten Waukesha West. New Berlin West is in there, and who's beaten Eisenhower. Pewaukee is kind of a team that it seems like they're ready for a breakthrough at any moment. They're very good. They just haven't been able to beat the top teams in the Woodland Conference, being Pius and Eisenhower.
I was just going to say, is Pius still one of the best teams ever?
Pius is still one of the best teams ever. They would be in the other half of that sectional. They would not face these teams in the regional, but eventually, before they get to state, one of those teams is going to get through, I would think, and a lot of really good teams are going to be kept home. So that's by far the most interesting part of the girls' basketball bracket.
By far.
Is that Division II sectional with all those powerful teams.
And the boys, I'm surprised at Racine Park. They started out hot and have stayed hot. I think they only have two losses this year. I think they're ranked number two in the state. I did not expect them to be this good, which is interesting. And I went and did a feature on the Days brothers, Noble and Kai, talked to their parents who both played high school basketball, then talked to their grandma, who is in the Tuskegee University Hall of Fame.
No way. That's crazy.
Legit. Grandma was awesome. That is on TWCSportsChannel.com if you want to go watch that story because it's pretty sweet. Grandmas are fun. but yeah, they are good. Kai is the senior who's scoring like 16 a game, something like that. Noble is rated as like a top 10 freshman in the country by some.
Really? I did not realize that.
He's 6'10 and enormous and really good. Maybe not 6'10, but he's really tall and really good. So those are two big reasons why Park is the real deal this year, apparently.
And that is a winnable sectional. It's kind of hard to know exactly, you know, how teams from the Southeast are going to match up with the Milwaukee City Conference. There's some pretty good teams in there as well. I'm trying to find the city conference, JP. Where did it go?
It's under Milwaukee City.
On my list of...
There you go.
There I go. So, I mean, Vincent's in there, but also Milwaukee Riverside is in there. They're always tough. The Milwaukee King, of course, is always one of the top teams in the state. You got Marquette in there from the suburban schools. Brookfield Central, who's beaten Marquette. And
all
been
in
a
one
problem.
Sectional, huh?
Right. Riverside's 17-3. They're probably the team to beat, aside from Park in this case.
Because they have a pair of juniors, I believe. Lewis and Dixon?
Yes, Terrence Lewis, definitely one of the better players in the state. George Dixon as well. Dixon racks up more than 12 rebounds a game. Terrence Lewis scores more than 21 a game. That's very good, I would think. So, that's going to be an interesting matchup. That always is a very competitive sectional. Always seemingly at West Allis Central when you get to the sectional final. Some pretty good teams from around the area.
This will not be a competitive team in the postseason, but Milwaukee North Division has Anthony Thomas, the leading scorer in the city, who I believe put up 63 the other night.
Yes.
He is the latest in a line of high-scoring players in Billy Harris's offense David Hamilton, Daryl Riley, and now it's Anthony Thomas. He's averaging like 40 points a game.
Cool.
If nothing else, it's fun to watch.
It is.
They're not going to win many postseason games, but it's fun to watch.
The other sectional involving Division I teams, boys basketball, is also very, I think, very difficult to predict. There's a lot of teams that, I mean, I think Arrowhead is as good as any in there. They've beaten Germantown, who has sort of re-risen to one of the top spots. A couple teams from the north, DePere and Bayport, are going to be very competitive. Kimberly is going to be very good. Kimberly just beat Kaukauna, number two team in the state, or I should say number one team in the state at the time. They'll probably fall below New Berlin Eisenhower now. But Kettle Moraine, I think, is a very interesting team on the boys' basketball side. They all their losses have been close, and they've been able to beat some pretty good teams. I think they're as dangerous as anybody in there. Sheboygan North is also one of the best teams in the state. So that's a very even. I couldn't predict right now who I think comes out of that one. So interesting opportunities.
And there's that little school named Stevens Point as well, which just is waiting.
If you are in Stevens Point sectional, you shouldn't make plans for state tournament weekend. But
cancel those hotel rooms.
Things have happened in the postseason. I don't think they're going to happen in this postseason. I think the Division I, much like the Golden State Warriors and the National Basketball Association, I think pretty much everyone understands Stevens Point's going to win. It's just a matter of how close things get.
It's just a matter of how many records they set on the way, kind of like Golden State. Are they going to beat the Bulls' record of 72 or not?
I don't know. Teams in the NBA better hope they do so that they are actually tired and not resting their starters by the end of the season. So speaking of the NBA, the Milwaukee Bucks, Milwaukee Bucks.
Without Dwight Howard.
Oh, yeah, that was an interesting late-breaking tidbit that they might be interested in Dwight Howard. I don't think he'd have made them any better because right now the Bucks they need more than just one player. What do they need, JP? You see them more than I do, probably.
They need patience, which is a weird word in 2016.
Yeah, I don't like it. If they had wanted to make me patient, then they shouldn't have been so good last year. Why were they so good last year but so bad this year?
That's a good point. This is probably the middle ground. This is what they should have been last year.
Totally
and
agree.
Then last
Flip
year
it.
Is what they should have been this year.
Flip it.
So it doesn't matter. We got the same results over the past two
That's
years.
Not how my mind
That's
works.
That's not how it works?
No.
They need to be patient, and I'm glad that they didn't do anything because if on the trade deadline they went around and flipped Michael Carter-Williams or Greg Monroe or, you know, heaven forbid, Jabari or Giannis, it would go directly in the face of everything they've been saying, which is we need to be patient. This is a young team that we need to allow to grow. And then if you turn around and trade Michael Carter-Williams and give up on him after a year, what does that say about you and your plan? And, you know, granted, is that more of just a PR hit than an actual, you know, impactful thing on them? Maybe.
Yeah.
But what does that say about your plan if you go ahead and trade some of these pieces that you've identified? So I'm glad that they didn't. I think they need to work through this with the guys that they think can get it done. Before the All-Star break, they moved Greg Monroe, MCW, to the bench to start the game, which was a huge deal for some people, apparently, even though Greg Monroe still played 33 minutes off the bench. So I think they're just trying anything they can to kind of spice it up. I don't think they're going to make a playoff run. I think they will be in the lottery. I think this is a terrible draft, and there's nobody to get excited about, which stinks.
Well, but even in a bad draft, if you have a lottery pick, let's say you get one of the top three picks.
Yeah.
That's a good situation. I mean, the Bucks are not going to be far off from being
in
that conversation.
No, right now they're eighth. Right. I mean, and the three that come to mind are Ben Simmons, Buddy Hield. So Ben Simmons, LSU, ESPN's darling.
They love
LSU
Ben Simmons.
LSU is on TV like twice a week for no reason.
I know. It's all about, I mean, you realize ESPN has been in the business of star making for a long time.
Well, and have you been watching a lot of college basketball? Or
yes.
No?
Oh, heavens, yes.
Their green room guys? Yeah. Oh, my God, it's pathetic the way that they talk about them.
I can't handle it.
So, Ben Simmons, Buddy Hield, the 40-point scorer from Oklahoma, and Chris Dunn, the guard from Providence, are the only three that come to mind of, you know, that wouldn't be a bad pickup. But other than that, it's just, I can't find anybody to get excited about.
Yeah, and a lot of the other top guys are low-level guys, or not low-level, but freshman guys, project guys.
Yeah.
I mean, Henry Ellenson is one of the top 10 guys that most people say.
And that's
say
ridiculous. And, like, he's nowhere near ready. He's not even ready for, like, all Big East.
Right. And Brandon Ingram from Duke, the freshman, like,
yeah.
I've heard of him, but I
because
couldn't
you
tell
heard
you
of him
a lot
in high school.
Him. Right, exactly. So it's sort of, it's sort of all about projectivity. I mean, they're talking about the kid from Michigan State that played against the Badgers last night. And I knew he was on the team, and I knew he's a big guy, but I'd be like, wow, you're a top 15.
No, with Ellenson,
Diamond Stone would be a top 15 pick at this
point. Well, Stone, I think, is more ready than a few other guys.
Yeah, that could be. Scala Bissier has been very disappointing at Kentucky. He's another guy. I mean, it's all project stuff. Now, that could be good for the Bucks because really next year – they should have everything intact, assuming they don't.
Well, they have it this year.
Right. They should have that. Everything will be a year older and a year better.
Like with Ellenson, it's almost like just teams claiming dibs on him.
Yeah.
Like, all right, we have him, and we're going to wait for 3 years until he's finally ready.
Exactly.
Like, it's not that
it's
they
like
think.
It's a futures contract.
Exactly. It's not like they think that he can contribute anytime soon because there's, I mean, there's no way.
Right. And sometimes these guys do transform themselves in 1 year. They become very valuable overnight.
Diamond Stone has, right? He's reshaped his body, and he's become, bad word choice there. He's become a man there. He could improve.
He's probably going to be a top 15 pick. He and Ellenson both, which will be a really unique situation for Wisconsin prep basketball fans. But at the same time, the Bucks, like you said, there aren't guys on here that are going to become major contributors for the Bucks next year.
Or anybody.
Yeah, or anybody. I still would like to get a top 3 pick and see what happens. I mean, that could be a fun thing. I would have been more disappointed if they had traded Greg Monroe or Jabari Parker, because I feel like those guys are more about the direction of this team than Michael Carter-Williams. Because I think if you get, let's say they had gotten Ricky Rubio.
Yeah.
Okay, so they basically just traded point guards. They got somebody who's at the same stage of development, maybe probably in this case a little bit further along, and then he can sort of do what they wanted Michael Carter-Williams to do. I don't think – I'm all about patience with a lot of these guys. I don't know. MCW, I'm at the point where if they trade him or not, fine. Just get me a point guard that can do some of the things he does and do whatever it is that people are missing. Feel that they're missing with MCW.
And, I mean, he shouldn't be untouchable. You know,
no.
I mean, by no means is he – I don't even think he's the top 10 in the league in point guards.
Right, no, for sure.
So, you know, if you wanted to upgrade to somebody who basically has the same skill set but a little better defense, that's an upgrade. Same skill set but can actually score, that's an upgrade.
Yep.
So he is not – you're right. He is not as big of a deal as Giannis and Jabari, who I believe should be absolutely untouchable. And then Greg Monroe, for all of his faults on defense – is sometimes the only thing you have going on offense.
Yes, for sure.
So
yeah, it's just really trying because, and we've talked about this before, they tasted so much success last year. It wasn't even just a taste, it was a revolution.
Yeah.
And then to fall so far back, and really the only thing you could say is, well, maybe they don't have Zaza, and I mean,
Jared Dudley.
Yeah, there's no real explanation, though. Those two guys would not have changed the course of this year's team. It just is a situation where they're still learning how to play good defense. They're still learning how to be good basketball players, especially Jabari Parker, who's not there yet, you know?
And still hasn't even played a full season. I mean, people are already jumping off of his bandwagon.
I know.
He's played 73 games.
And I understand when people say that. You have to give him time, and he's healing and all of that, and he's still very young. But at the same time, this is a young man's league. You don't get these guys for a lot of years.
Yeah.
You have to get production from your lower-level guys. You can't afford, unless you're drafting somebody to be a three-year project, you can't afford for a cornerstone guy to be a project.
The contract issue is real. I mean, that's – you only have him for, you know, 4 more years guaranteed, so I get that. But he's still 19, 20 years old.
Yep,
I mean, he still should be an underclassman in college.
Yes.
So I think there's a little bit of leeway that needs to be given to him.
Yeah, I suppose if you want to give it, JP, that's fine with me.
Oh, I will.
That's fine with me. The Bucks not going to the playoffs this year. The Badgers' postseason outlook is an interesting one. They won 7 straight games. They crushed Maryland in Maryland. I think that was a 27-game home winning streak that went by the wayside there. They convinced Diamond Stone to push Vito Brown's face into the floor. Diamond Stone got a 1-game. I feel so bad for that guy. He just, in this state, he's never going to get a fair shake. He's going to be vilified in this state.
How did he not get a fair
shake? Oh, I mean, he deserved a suspension, for sure. And then, sidebar, hilarious note that, oh, well, it's not that big a suspension because they're only going to play Minnesota.
Oops.
Then they lost to Minnesota.
Thanks, Gophers.
How about that? So, I mean, he definitely deserved a suspension. I just mean, in the state of Wisconsin, he is thought of as a bad guy. He's just
the guy who's certainly helping himself.
Right, I know. But I'm guessing it's just very frustrating to be Diamond Stone when you're facing with the Badgers or dealing with the criticism back home. I mean, anyway,
I think he's so far away from that.
You really don't think he knows
as a third-ranked team in the nation?
I suppose.
I don't see.
They were, anyway.
Yeah, I don't see how that could have played into it at all. It's not like, I mean, the Badgers offered him, so it's not like, you know, he's trying to spurn a school that didn't even recruit him. He's 1,000 miles away, so he doesn't, sure. You know, he doesn't hear any Milwaukee media, Madison media. He doesn't get any newspapers. He doesn't really see any of his old family
or
friends.
How do you know that?
I don't think he gets the Journal Sentinel shipped to him.
He doesn't need to. He can get it on jsonline.com.
And so I think he's so far. And then you add in the fact that they're good, that they're really, really good. I don't think that would be an issue at all.
It is 789 miles.
You're a piece of garbage.
Actually not bad. Well, I was going to criticize you if it was less than that, but I thought within 200 miles of 1,000, I can go with it.
No, and if you drive like, you know, through Indianapolis or something, maybe you can add a little bit onto it.
Yeah, that's true.
My detours.
I don't know why you would do that, but you could.
Why not?
what's there that isn't, you know, like
Indianapolis
Final Four
is a great town.
Yeah, okay. I love driving through it. It's great. They got great highways.
I have a lot of fun in Indianapolis when I go.
Yes.
I actually just talked about meeting a friend there the other day.
Awesome. Remember when I drove through and you did not want to meet me in Indianapolis?
Yeah, I was that was the day of the national championship game.
Still,
I was working.
Still, you didn't meet me.
Anyway, so right now I think the Badgers have put themselves in, but I think they can also take themselves out.
I do think they need another big-time win. They need to beat Iowa. I know
Iowa, Purdue, or one more? Michigan.
Yeah, and if they don't beat Michigan, I definitely think they're out. Because Michigan has – they're kind of side-by-side right now, Michigan,
yeah.
Wisconsin. And I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, that game's at home.
It is.
They need to win that game. If they lose it, I think their resume just starts to get a little murky. Yeah, they got some big wins, but they're kind of offset by the terrible losses.
Yeah.
But if they beat Michigan and finish ahead of them, they're going to be in the top five in the Big Ten probably, or
yeah.
close to it. That's tournament territory right there.
Illinois and Minnesota would be bad losses.
Oh,
that,
yes.
Like I
you
said,
can't
would
have
take
those
them
bad
out.
Losses. But those are at home. Well, Minnesota doesn't matter where that game is played. Illinois is at home, so they should be able to win that
yeah.
game, no doubt. I do think it's going to put them in for sure if they win at Iowa or win at Purdue. Without either one of those games, it's at least a question
I think
mark.
It's still, yeah, I mean, I understand that sentiment. I think it's still all too murky because if
it
you
is,
win at
sure.
Purdue and lose at Minnesota, cancels each other out.
Right.
Or, you know, it might even be too bad to overcome.
Right. And then
it's 1-13 in the conference. Yeah, you beat Maryland, but that's a bad, bad loss.
And in a year where there just aren't that many dominant teams, you've got to think more mid-major teams are going to have a legitimate
yeah.
case. My alma mater, Valparaiso, is a great example. They took a bad loss on February 13th against Wright State that I think keeps them from getting in without winning their conference tournament, but I'm not sure. And when you start to compare, like, I mean, considering the Badgers lost to the team that's in last place in the Summit League and Valparaiso
yeah.
doesn't have any losses like that,
yeah.
you know, maybe there's sort of teams like that get the nod over a major and maybe not. I don't know how it's going to play
somebody
out.
Like a Dayton who's,
totally, same
who's
situation.
Totally ranked, and
yep.
if they don't win their conference tournament, they're going to get a bid. So
absolutely. Yeah, you don't want to have to be the team that is like watching the conference tournaments to make
yeah.
sure that the
and
right
they might have
win.
To, which brings up the Big Ten tournament and how insane is that going to
be? It's
going to
be amazing.
Because there's like five teams all with five losses right now.
And you know who's going to win it, don't
Michigan,
you?
Northwestern.
State. Northwestern.
Oh,
they're going to win it.
They won't win a game.
I don't know.
That'll be initial reaction bet. Northwestern will not win a game. But all those
okay.
teams with five
I
want to
take you on that.
All those teams with five losses of Wisconsin, Michigan, Ohio State, Purdue, Michigan State, they're all going to, like, on the day before the final game, so like March 6th or whatever, they're going to have one order. And then there's going to be like three games that just completely flip everything. And
right.
all those top seeds are going to get different matchups.
Well, after,
oh, it's going to be terrifying.
After Penn State beat Iowa on Wednesday night,
yeah.
not to continually open that wound, but...
It's not a wound.
Okay.
Wisconsin lost to Rutgers last year and made
totally,
it to the championship game.
Absolutely gross, that loss. That
Michigan lost
me.
To Penn State when they made it to the
so
title
So after
game.
The Penn State win,
yeah.
Badgers were like, top
they're
four.
A game and a half
they're
out.
Top four and
yeah.
a game and a half out of first.
Yeah.
They lose to Michigan State the next night. They're in eighth.
Eighth.
It's amazing
so
how that works.
I mean, this is going to be so fun, and it's the parody that's doing
yeah.
it, which I hate to use a buzzword like that, but it's fun.
Yeah.
It's going to be cool.
It is. My concern is that we're going to get to the NCAA tournament, look around at the Final Four, and see Kansas, Duke,
yeah.
Kentucky,
Oklahoma.
North Carolina. Yeah.
yeah.
It's going to be usual suspects, only because that's just the opposite of what we expect is going to happen.
Yeah. I mean,
I would love
it,
to see multiple mid-majors. The year that Butler and VCU both
yeah, plus
Final
Iowa,
Four,
I agree.
yeah. And Iowa, of course.
I don't know. They can't hit free throws. I mean, that's why they've lost their games against
Iowa.
Penn State, Maryland. Yeah, Penn
yeah.
State, Maryland, and Indiana is because they went, like, against Penn State, there were some, like, 20 for 36 at the line.
That's
like,
brutal.
It was terrible.
So every year I do an NCAA player draft. The point, you have to try to pick guys that are
yeah,
going to
advance.
Right. So you want guys that advance,
but
also
score.
High scoring. It's
yeah.
just points. So who's the number one pick in the in
Buddy Hield?
Okay, probably
1,000%.
Probably yes. Buddy Hield is definitely on the short list. But then after that, like, there's no. I mean, yeah. Denzel Valentine maybe, but yeah. It's not like Denzel Valentine throws up 25 a game. I mean, you wind up going after guys that
there's
are in
so
that
many
category.
There's so many people, and I'm one of them who are already like just autofilling Michigan State into their bracket
because
already.
That's how it works every year.
Absolutely.
Tom Izzo is a magician,
genius.
And which reminds me of another team that does that.
But I'm a genius?
No.
Oh.
Girls basketball, Arrowhead, Rick Whitty, that coach, he finds them, he has them performing
really?
Well at the end of the year. Every year, that's my upset special in girls basketball on Friday. They'd have to go up to Green Bay to make something happen. Friday or Saturday. I'm confused on the timeline with that. But that's my upset special in girls basketball.
Fair enough.
You got one, JP?
An upset special in girls basketball.
I'm not going to put you on the spot.
I told you. I like Waukesha West.
All right. Sounds good. They wouldn't be an upset. Well, they would be, I
yeah,
guess.
Yeah, they're not number one, right?
No, you're right. They're the number two.
Yeah, take so, that. Yeah.
Okay. Sounds good.
There we go.
Sounds good. JP, anything going on that we haven't talked about on Time Warner Cable Sports
Channel? A ton. Okay. Oh, my goodness. So we did college hockey last night, so catch the replay
super
of that.
Awesome.
Super awesome. But go to twcsportschannel.com. There is a feature I did with words attached to it as well on a post from Wisconsin Lutheran College. There's a player from, I think it went to Slinger? Yeah, I think he's from Slinger. This really doesn't matter at all. Player from Wisconsin Lutheran had a buzzer beater to beat Dominican, and we have video of it, which is awesome.
Not Dominican High School.
Dominican University. And then 4 days later, guess what he did?
He hit another buzzer beater. That's a good week.
Was picked up by ESPN, was picked up by Time Warner Cable Sports Channel, but no, I mean other stations besides us. So he had a good week. And, you know, it was fun. I didn't really realize this as I was interviewing him, but so it was like my last question. It was like, what would have happened if you didn't hit those shots?
Yeah, and now you're just a guy.
And he kind of laughed because he's like, nobody's asked me that yet. It's like, oh, sorry. But if he doesn't, that team, I forgot what the actual number is, but like then all of a sudden they're in seventh and they're not going to make the conference tournament.
Oh.
But now like they're in fourth because they got two wins, so four more points. And so like it actually mattered. It's not just like, oh, look at these feel-good things that we can – have some momentum over.
Yeah.
It really mattered. So, and a cool little way to end the story, too.
Yeah. Tanner Sheeby, the Slinger
alum, nice.
You're thinking of.
There
so,
you go.
Back at LakeCountryNow.com, you can find my column. The state wrestling meet is a couple weeks away. We had individual sectionals are this weekend. You can check out big photo galleries of that, as well as the state swimming meet at Lake Country Now and MyCommunityNow.com. My column at the Preps Alcove looks at reseeding at the state tournament. It's something we've talked about before. It's something we should talk about again and again and again because it still isn't happening outside of boys volleyball. And whereas in Minnesota they reseed all over the place, in Wisconsin that's just not how it is. State wrestling, the two best teams in the state, inarguably the two best teams in the state, will meet in the state quarterfinal. And I don't get it. I don't get why we're at the point where that is not changed here in the year 2016. So you can read my column about that, plus more on Flegner going to Oconomowoc High School at Lake Country.
How are your round ball rankings?
They are still doing well at mycommunitynow.com.
I noticed
Marin
Crocker is on there.
Yeah, I keep up with all the men's and women's basketball players in Division I that are from the area. Marin Crocker is in my Scotties of March feature.
She's a phenomenal player.
She had a really good game at just this past week for UWGB. Steph Kostowitz of Oak Creek just had a career high, 27 points for UW-Milwaukee in a win over Valparaiso.
Heyo!
So that was not bad. Also keep up, one guy who kind of made some noise this last week, Jarvis Garrett of West Dallas Central fame. He is at Rhode Island, and he broke his jaw in a game. Came back and wore this like Hannibal Lecter mask. It was on SportsCenter and all
nice.
That. He played a couple games with the mask on to try to protect his jaw. So that he made a brief national news there.
Germantown fans alert: which Bearden is playing at Buffalo?
Lamonte.
He will be on Time Warner Cable Sports Channel on Monday.
Really?
Yes, I believe Monday or Tuesday. We have the Buffalo game.
Oh.
I don't know who they're playing.
There's an update on him in Scotties of March too.
Look at that.
Not favorable.
Oh,
if he is playing, he'll be coming off of a 3-game suspension. So that's all I'll say about
gotcha.
That. You'll have to go to Roundball Rankings.
I will have to now.
MyCommunityNow.com/Roundball.
There's no way I can find that info out from any Buffalo website. So
I'm sure you could if you looked. Well, maybe not the home website, but In any event, thanks for joining me, JP, and thanks for joining us, listeners. We appreciate that you have any interest in the Initial Reaction podcast.
We'll be back a lot more often once JR clears his schedule.
I hate you.
Bye, friends.
See you later.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.